I should have brought it up. I should have brought it up. I should have brought it up when I saw it, I guess.
Oh, oh snap.
Oh, my God.
Oh, snap.
The Cowboys are trading Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers. Micah and the Packers have already reached an agreement on a four-year, $188
million. Oh, my goodness.
$120 million fully guaranteed. Micah Parsons is the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. He'll receive $62 million in the first year. This is where stuff gets weird. $120 million fully guaranteed. $136 million guaranteed. All records for non-quarterbacks. Do not rewind this show to the beginning.
This won't be on the best.
Micah. It's funny. Schefter wrote, this is what he wrote.
Wow.
Cowboys are trading three-time All-Pro Micah Packers to the Green Bay Packers. My man was flustered.
Yeah.
He got that Luka Doncic tweet. And see, this is the difference between Shams and Schefter. Shams got the tweet, cool hand Luke, got it out there to the world. Schefter got it and panicked. Micah Parsons is headed to the Green Bay Packers.
Micah's already got the Thank You Dallas video montage up and tweeted out.
What a legend.
It's already there. Go Pack Go is what he says.
Episode 9 of that Cowboys doc is going to be sick.
Wow. Micah Parsons headed to the Green Bay Packers. For what? Don't know.
Okay. Can we have
Turns out that little tweet a couple days ago was something, huh?
Micah Packers is killing me right now. I'm going to go follow, what was his name? Ricky Scoops?
Follow the doggy.
Hey,
follow the doggy.
Ricky Scoops, salute my brother.
Can we have a discussion real quick?
I'm about to fire off a hot take, so go ahead.
I think my take might be hotter.
Okay, go ahead.
This was the right move by the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll go the other way. Yeah, I think this was the perfect move by the Packers.
Two things can be equally true here. If I'm the Cowboys, I'm not. We talked earlier about having a realistic conversation about where your franchise is at.
Mm-hmm.
I might not even make the playoffs.
Yep.
What am I paying Dak, CeeDee, and Micah Parsons all this money for?
So
we had them at single digit wins right before they made the trade.
Yeah.
I don't think Kenny's wrong. You're Jesse's definitely wrong.
That's the move.
I'm thinking
him.
Super Bowl.
That's the conversation around the Packers. So
that's a game changer.
So, spoiler alert: one of the things that we were laying out to talk about was, true NFC contenders to the Philadelphia Eagles. We have one now.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely have one now in the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
I don't think your assessment is wrong, though, about the Dallas Cowboys. Here's the problem. Did you know last year that you were willing to do this? Because if so, paying CeeDee Lamb was the wrong move. If this boils down to dollars and cents, because we've asked the question since this, we literally asked this the second Dak signed that contract.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to pay Dak, who's, whether he is a number one quarterback or not, or whether he's a top five quarterback, he's the number one paid quarterback.
Right.
How are you going to pay CeeDee at the top of that wide receiver group? How are you going to pay Micah Parsons at the top of that defensive end group? And now we have done gymnastics to try to figure out how Jerry is going to do this.
Hmm.
And now we've learned he's just not.
Right.
But should you have made that decision last year when it was CeeDee Lamb's contract and not waited for this year when it was Micah Parsons?
It feels like, I mean, at
Micah's a better football player than CeeDee Lamb is.
So at that time, you were probably looking at it like, we can still do this, guys.
And
we can still be a good team.
And we have a $60 million quarterback.
Right.
We have to have something here for him.
Right. Right. So, yeah, that is a shocker.
In 1994, Jerry Jones traded Thomas Everett immediately after a Pro Bowl season. That is the only Pro Bowler Jerry has ever traded immediately following a Pro Bowl season prior to right now.
Wow. I don't know why Micah wrote this.
I don't know why Micah wrote this big long ass letter. You already wrote one.
He wrote a letter, and this is second letter after already saying thank you, Dallas. And he has the video ready.
Hey, Schefter has to own Micah Packers forever.
Drew Down brings up a good point too. Dak Prescott is the one who's not worth the money in Dallas.
Drew Down's not wrong, but what do you do?
Well, it's like you
said. But what do you do? Do you just not have a quarterback?
Yeah, I think you trade him and you look to draft the quarterback. I don't know if that's going to happen during the season.
I would have looked at that. Yeah, once you got to $60 million, it's like, right. Yeah, this is a little ridiculous.
Well, $60 million. How did you get there? Through the history of quarterback contract growth. It is $2.5 to $5 million in growth every year. Mm-hmm. It's always the who's next. Dak is like the only one who jumped like $10
million. Yeah.
And threw the whole market off to where no one's touched that yet.
No.
No one's getting paid $60 million.
Everybody's like, bro, this isn't real. Let's not do this.
Oh, man, someone tweeted out a picture of Luka and Micah next to each other.
Ooh.
Oh, it was Eagles Nation. That's well done. That's well done by the Eagles fan base. That's hilarious. Oh, man.
Do we even know what Dallas got?
I'm searching a couple of different people trying to find it, and I don't see any parameters for a trade. Again, I'm sure it's a ton of draft picks. Boy, Schefter wasn't playing this morning. Like Schefter got the word, "Hey, we're trading Micah today."
Yeah,
get this out there. We're trading Micah today. Mm. Either that or this escalated quickly. And again, shout out to Ricky Scoops. Legend.
This guy, he was on it.
Micah Parsons is one of only three players to record 12-plus sacks in at least four of the last five seasons. He's 26 years old. Oh, my God, man. When you talk about average annual value for non-quarterbacks, I knew we had the number this year. Micah cleared it by $6 million. Micah Parsons, $47 million. TJ at $41 million. Which was about $500,000 more than Myles Garrett. It's $750,000 more than Jamar Chase. Danielle Hunter makes $35.6 million, and Micah got $47 million for a team that does everyone think right now can win the Super Bowl.
Packers
compete for the Super Bowl.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wow. Now all Jordan Love has to do is not mess things up.
Okay, well, what does that mean?
That's
TC.
Oh, speaking. Oh,
oh, he's TC on the line still.
No, he's gone. He's gone. That's my bad, TC. That's my bad. Boy, I wish there was a way I could just search Dallas Cowboy fan base Twitter.
Yeah, go to the list. I got him on one of my lists, which is called
of
the
Enemy.
Of
course, you do. Yeah, of course,
the enemy. It's the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Lakers. A lot of people from them, but just Cowboys Twitter right here. Let's see what they talk about. Okay, I'm not going to read that one.
Okay,
I'm not going to read that one.
We got the NFL Network. This is why you can't air the College Little League World Series or whatever the hell is on. Now we got some canned.
To be fair, this is on ESPN News.
It's canned. But I can't go to the other ESPN because I think the US Open is on.
Oh, did you see that stuff last night?
No, Yeah.
She didn't get slapped.
Yeah.
I would have slapped her.
Yeah. They can't possibly be showing this Texans-Vikings
game. They're talking about it right now.
Okay. Ooh. Of course, you have to be a genius to figure out how to work the remote control in this studio. There we go. All right.
Ian Rappaport. Wow. Wow. And they did it. They traded him in the conference.
Stanley.
Stanley, where are you, bro? They couldn't trade him to the Raiders?
Jerry's never seen that Super Bowl, I'll tell you that much.
We have never talked this much about the Dallas Cowboys, but this conversation is going nowhere because I've got more questions. Brennan Marion is really unfortunate. Brennan Marion is going to join us next. He's going to be peppered with Cowboy questions. He's going to be peppered with Green Bay Packers questions. What a trade. Micah Parsons headed to the Green Bay Packers, already agreed to a 4-year, $188 million contract, $136 million guaranteed. We have got you covered. A massive story. 7 days before the Eagles and Cowboys kick off the new NFL season and 48 hours away from Sac State kicking off their season. Coach Brennan Marion joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
This is the Coach Brennan Marion Show, brought to you by J Resort, the newest casino and resort in Reno. J Resort has special discounts available for Sacramento State football fans. Just go to jresortreno.com and use promo code SAC0906. Now, here's Coach Marion with D-Lo and KC.
Coach, what's happening, man? How you feeling?
Feeling awesome. I like that intro. That beat was kind of
Coach.
It was hitting a little bit.
That's what we do. Excited for this season to get underway for you, man. Coach, it feels like we've been talking to you for a long time. This has got to be the biggest off season in Sac State University history. Is that a different type of pressure headed into start to a season when you have an off season like you had?
No, me and Casey talked about it last night. I think in the offseason, we just did our job, you know, better than anybody in the country. When you say, can you be the absolute best? Can you be number one? We were number one in recruiting. That's just our job in the offseason, is to recruit and try to bring in the best crop of kids that we can as coaches. And I think our coaching staff did a really good job of, you know, going out and acquiring talent and bringing players here, obviously bringing 70 players here to Sacramento State. So I think really, you know, all the hype came from the results. It was really the results and the buzz that came from, okay, these guys really went out and recruited at a high level. And, you know, that's just our job when it's the offseason. That's what we're supposed to do.
Having so much turnover in the roster and so many new players, like it wasn't just guys that you had coached at UNLV, but it was just a collection of different players from around the country. The old adage is that's going to take time for players to gel. It's going to take time for chemistry and everything like that. But every time I watch one of the episodes of Go-Go Football, when I go to the practice or something like that, seems like these guys are already kind of locked in. Do you have that type of feeling with this group as well, where they've been able to gel relatively quickly considering there's so many new faces and moving parts?
Yeah, I told our players and I told our staff, you got to go from strangers to friends, friends to cousins, cousins to brothers. And, you know, I think that's where we're at right now. We're at that stage of where guys really feel like when they look to the left and the right, like, man, I'd be willing to die for this dude and put it on the line for him. And, you know, I'm excited for our guys to get the opportunity to show how close we are as a team and how we play together and how we've gelled throughout this offseason. And like you said, I mean, we got kids from the deep south. We got kids from Hawaii, California, Texas, you know, everywhere. And these kids have, you know, done a really good job of gelling together and, you know, embracing their differences and learning from each other. It's actually been really cool to see guys learn different things, you know, an East Coast guy versus a West Coast guy, South guy versus, you know. So, you know, to me, that's America, you know, a blended group of people, you know, searching, you know, to try to, you know, win and or you know, accomplish your dream. And so I'm excited for our team and really blessed on how fast they came together.
Coach KC mentioned Go-Go Football. You got the chain on that says Go-Go. Go-Go Sacramento has kind of been the moniker. Can you define that? Can you define what Go-Go means for Sac State football this season?
Yeah, Go-Go really started off as a high school coach and then you know, a lot like, you know, everybody says, like, how do you win so fast or what do you do and all, you know, that type of stuff that people might put out there. But really the Go-Go name came from, you know, being at Howard, having the biggest upset in college football history at UNLV. And then everybody, you know, when I walked around everywhere, you're like the Go-Go guy, you know, like the Go-Go offense and that type of thing. And so instead of, you know, for years, I kind of like tried to push that away, shy that to the side, like, you know, I don't want to be known as that. And then, you know, I said, you know what, I'm going to just embrace that. That's what everybody calls me. That's what I'm known for, the offense. And so we'll be embraced that. But what it means here at Sac State is, you know, it's awesome now to, because I've always, you know, I grew up playing defense and being on the defensive side of the ball. And when I was a high school head coach, you know, our defense was a very violent, fierce defense. So I'm excited to, you know, now have a, be able to have an impact on the defensive side of the ball and in special teams. And if you looked at my track record as a offensive coordinator, I was always celebrating with the defensive guys when they got interceptions and sacks and big plays. And I'm excited for what Coach Patton has brought to our defense and our defensive coaches. And, you know, we're just Go-Go Sacramento, you know, period. We're about whatever we need to do, offense, defense, special teams, to be 1 point better than the other team at the end of the game.
You know, Coach, I'm a flashy guy. I loved Deion Sanders when I was growing up. I didn't play football, but if I played football, I probably would have been a DB, you know, and I would have had all the gear and all this other stuff. But as I learned about the game more and more, I understand that the game is won in them trenches with them big dogs down there. And when looking at your roster, when looking at you guys in practice, those big guys on both the offensive line and defensive line, they look like they're ready to go, and they look like they can get nasty. How are you feeling about the trenches, the offensive line, the defensive line, and everything that you've been able to cook up with this roster during summer and fall camp?
Yeah, I mean, we're old school country, you know, down south type of team when it comes to our trenches as far as the violence. In our trenches, I think the first thing we did is we had to bring in violent people and guys that, you know, liked confrontational football, you know, in the trenches. We got a lot of down south D linemen that, you know, really love D-line play and, you know, old school with it. And then, you know, our O-line was like, man, I really got to bring it every day going against these guys, because not only is our 1 D-line good, our 2 D-line good, our 3rd D-line is good, our 4th D-line, you know, got some heat to it. So really that was the most important thing for me. You know, like, we've been able to manufacture points with all types of different skill guys and different skill sets. Not all of them were first round picks. Some of them were JUCO guys with no offers. And, you know, so I know that we could schematically scheme things up, but you can't scheme up the physicality of what happens in the trenches. You have to have that type of physicality up front if you want to be a team that holds up trophies, a team that wins conference championships. That was our goal this offseason, to bring in the type of guys that we did in the trenches.
And it looks like all of those recruits, I think Casey mentioned 70-plus transfers that came in. We joked. You just wiped out the whole football team and was like, nah, we're going to start this over. Shout out to the 6 guys that made it. But it was pretty split between the offensive and defensive end. And to hear you talk about the trenches and all of that, it's interesting, because you're the ones that were, you talk about flashy, the ones that got everybody's attention, got us talking, got the national media talking, was Jaden Rashada, the quarterback. You got the running back and Jamar Curtis. So to hear you talk about the trenches and the ugly stuff in football is pretty dope, considering the 2 biggest recruits that got the most attention were the flashy guys on the offensive end.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way football is. Everybody loves the quarterback. But somebody has to protect the quarterback. And then obviously if you can affect the quarterback, you know, then it's hard for them to win. You know, yeah. When I game plan as a coach, all I look at is, can we block the guys up front, mm-hmm. right? If we can block the guys up front, then we can run all the plays that we have, you know, we can run all the cool plays. We can do kind of whatever we want. Mm-hmm. But if we can't block the guys up front, then it's like it gets really hard on trying to be creative and trying to find ways to make plays work when you know that it's probably a, you know, if you can't control the first level, you can't get much done. And so that's where, to me, I learned at the stops that I've been at, the teams that we were really good and the teams that, you know, the championship teams I've been a part of, you know, we were really good in the trenches. You know, skill guys, you know, it's a revolving door, you know, as far as skill guys and who's going to show up and who's going to be consistent. But that O-line and D-line is what you need to move an offense or a defense forward.
And coach, you talk about that D-line and you're like, our first unit is good. Our second unit is good. Third unit, fourth. You know where else I feel like I see that on that roster is that running back room. My goodness. If you got the quote-unquote starter, but you might have a situation where four of those guys end up getting carries in the game, five of those guys end up getting carries, and there's no breaks. You know, like, they all can take it to the house, or they all are physical with the way they run the football. Is that what you envision for the ground game in that offense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think our offensive scheme makes running backs excited because we're a two-back, 21, 20-personnel type of team. Where we use a lot of multiple running backs, and we've had a lot of success in doing that. It's definitely different for running backs, as you know, most guys come from a system where it's one guy in the game, he dominates the ball, and it's a lot like Little League, I tell him. But we prepare guys for, you know, blocking, catching, running. You know, they can do everything in our offense. They can line up at receiver, tight end, in the backfield, fullbacks. You know, we use fullbacks. So I'm excited for our guys to show the versatility that they have, maybe that they weren't able to show at their previous school or, you know, where they came from because it was just a one back, you know, just run downhill. Mm-hmm. You know, our guys are going to do a lot of different things for us, you know, in the passing game, blocking for the guy, doing all types of stuff. So I'm excited for our running back room. Coach AC has done a really good job with those guys from the standpoint of, you know, he's been in the NFL locker room. He knows what it looks like to be around top tier quality running backs, and he's been able to give those guys a good, you know, dose of confidence to know that you guys could be Sunday guys. And so excited for our running back room for sure.
I feel like a good running back opens up so much for a team's offense in the sense of, you know, we were talking about this the other day, like a good running back can be like an offensive lineman for a quarterback. You know, the threat of a run can protect your quarterback. How much does having a guy like Jamar Curtis change, you know, what you can do offensively with these guys? Or I don't want to just center in on Jamar, that whole running back room that you just talked about right there.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys are like high caliber players. You know, obviously Jamar being one of the top running backs coming back in FCS, is going to be the headliner and an All-American. He can take it to the house at any point from receiver or running back or kick return or punt return. Then you have Savion Redd, who played Wildcat quarterback at Texas, ran the ball, played receiver, started games at receiver as a freshman, went to Reno and was a really good running back for them there last year. And then you have Rodney Hammond, who won a championship at Pitt. He's protected Kenny Pickett in the pocket as a freshman, ran the ball against Clemson in big games and, you know, scored touchdowns in conference championship games and been in big bowl games. So, and then we got some young heat, you know, we got Jaquil out of Florida. I mean, that dude is, every time he gets the ball, everybody is like, ooh and ah. You know, he gets you out of your seat. He can make the big runs. We got Damian from Colorado State that came to us. I mean, he's another guy that can get up, and if he gets a crease, it's going to be a touchdown. He can really run. And then we have, you know, the old veteran in the room. We call him Uncle Sam out there, Sam Adams, who was at Washington when they won, you know, those championships. And we're rolling, protecting Michael Penix back there. So we have a good, really, really good, solid room of guys that understand that they're there to help the quarterback in protection. They're also there to help the, you know, help the receivers. I always say a great running back helps the receivers. Now we're in one-on-one matchups because if they don't put an extra safety in the box, then we're going to be able to run the ball for a lot of yards. So we're excited for those guys. And I know the O-line is ready to block for those guys and open up holes. They get excited to just, you know, see, these guys are must-see TV. So we're excited for that running back room for sure.
100%, man. Coach Marion, head coach of Sac State football, and during the break when we were just talking,
Coach did not trade Micah Parsons. By
he
the
did
way.
Not.
That was not. That was not Coach Marion that traded Micah Parsons said, to the Packers. We'll get back to that.
Paxton, about to call Jerry Jones' grandson Paxton and coach at Texas and be like, "Bro, what y'all doing, man?"
That was wild. Yeah. But Damian was talking during the break. He's like, "Man, Coach with a style, he going to have everybody around here looking like cowboys because Coach has a hat, you know, he got the jeans, he got the boots." A cowboy company, is that your company or are you just kind of affiliated with them?
Yeah, I've just been affiliated with them. I like to do designs and all that type of deal. I think, you know, obviously A Cowboy now has a couple guys on the rodeo circuit and girls. And so I think that company will continue to blow up. But I really have loved, like, you know, I've always had an affinity for the country. You know, I grew up with a unique experience in the summer times. I would go to Virginia and I have to get water from the well, go to bathroom in the outhouse, catch fish to eat.
You know, man. That's too goddamn country, coach. That's a little extra. Yeah.
So people, you know, like, oh, he's a city guy. Like, yeah, during the school year, I was in the city with my mom in Pittsburgh. But in the summertime, I would go to Virginia in the country. And I've always, you know, I never was into cowboy hats until I got to, you know, Texas. But I was always into cowboy boots and gator boots. I always thought that, you know, the whole Carhartt shirts and Timberlands and, you know, like just the country swag was kind of my deal. So, you know, I think that company is going to get rolling here shortly.
No doubt.
Shaboozy live at Sac State at some point this season. <I'm> sure.
That ticket's too high for Shaboozy.
Hey, that's facts.
Man, that's facts. His NIL's too high. Yeah, I don't know.
I hear you. Yeah, yesterday's price is not today's price for my man.
I don't even know if UT could get Shaboozy right now.
I don't know. I don't know. That man was out there with Beyonce. Like, you can't get Shaboozy no more.
That ticket's different.
Hey, Coach, man, good luck. Good luck. We're excited for you. We're excited for – I mean, we just got an alert from our man Chris Biederman, Luke Wood, out at Cal Expo right now, trying to get the stadium on lock, trying to get that whole revamp thing going on right now. So we're excited for what's ahead. We're already making our plans. We're going to be at this one. We're going to be at this one. Yeah, you're going to see us outside this year, Coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Love to have y'all. My soul. Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir.
My man.
Appreciate
business,
you.
Big dog. Stingers up, baby.
Yes, sir. That's our man, Coach Marion, right there.
The Coach Brennan Marion Show has been brought to you by J Resort, the newest casino and resort in Reno. J Resort has special discounts available for Sacramento State football fans. Just go to jresortreno.com and use promo code SAC0906.
From Go Go Sacramento to Bye Bye Micah Parsons.
Bye-bye, Michael Parsons. That's crazy, man. They made that move.
Shout out to the NFL. Packers go to Dallas week 4, Sunday night.
Come on, man. Hey, shout out to the Drew Downs. Shout out to Donnie. Donnie came in while we were talking to Coach.
Donnie
said, I only came in here to say Jerry Jones is an idiot, and why did I sign up to be a Cowboys fan and a Kings fan in this life?
Poor Donnie. Donnie is a Cowboys fan. He's a Kings fan.
That's tough.
He's from Fresno, so he likes Fresno State. They just got slapped up by Kansas last week. They're probably going to lose again this week. They're actually underdogs at home against Georgia Southern. Donnie is done with sports.
I understand. He's
done with sports. Donnie, a Braves fan, too. They're having a terrible season. Oh, man.
It's hilarious. Wow. There's some dude out there with a Michael Parsons and Luka Doncic jersey in his closet. Sucks to suck, pal.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you guys a question right now. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to just ask the question because this is radio. What's the bigger loss for a Dallas fan?
Luke.
For a Dallas fan. Because the Cowboys are a little different.
They're different. It's Micah.
I think it's Luka.
I think the loss to the franchise is bigger, like Luka, but like a fan, I feel like the Cowboys are different than the Mavericks. Mm. But Micah's like not the quarterback. I think it's Micah.
I say Luka because no disrespect at all, but I think Luka is better at what he does than Micah is. Luka is looked at as he, you know, all things go right, he might be a top 10 player to ever play the game. Micah will be a Hall of Famer, but I don't know if he's going to reach LT status, Reggie White status. But he might be close.
They already got the Reggie White photoshops out there.
He might be close, though. Micah bad. Micah is a bad boy.
Micah Parsons' first four seasons, 13 sacks, 13 and a half sacks, 14 sacks, 12 sacks. Now a Green Bay Packer.
12 sacks. He didn't. That's last year, right?
Yeah, played 13 games. Played 13 games. 13 games.
He was hurt last year. Jeez.
Been top 3 defensive player of the year voting every year, but last year where he was hurt.
Coach was telling us the story. Micah was a running back in high school.
Yeah, good luck trying to tackle that guy.
Coach said, yeah, get this game off my schedule. Doing this.
Yeah, coach said,
get this game off my schedule. I'm not playing that person.
I don't think it's really hit that the Cowboys really traded Micah Parsons. Like, Micah Parsons is a top five player, I think, arguably in the league right now.
Absolutely.
Bro, this is absolutely Khalil Mack all over again.
But younger. Maybe a little bit bigger.
This is bigger, I think.
One, it's the Cowboys. It's bigger than the Raiders. Yeah.
Khalil Mack was the best defensive player in the game. When he
I
got
think
traded.
So. Yeah, you're right.
He was number one. So. Yeah. There wasn't no maybe Myles Garrett, maybe TJ. It was Khalil's the best.
It felt like it.
And they moved on from him.
Yeah.
It's the I wanted, Jesse said earlier, I want the extended episode of the documentary.
Episode 9.
How do we get to this?
You haven't got there. You'll never get there because I think it's the final episode.
Micah's the last episode.
But wait, no. The last episode that's actually there is when they're getting their ass whooped by everybody for the last, 20 years, and it culminates with the Packers.
Yeah,
and
who's
he's hugging in the locker room?
Micah?
He's hugging Micah Parsons in the locker room. Talking about I love you and it's not your fault and all of this, and Micah talking about I just want to win.
Wow.
That's the last game that they cover.
Kenny brought it up. I do wonder if Jerry Jones was watching the doc, just pumped up. Yeah, I'm Jerry Jones. Micah, watch what I do right now.
I did this with Herschel Walker, and you saw what it
resulted
in. Well,
you didn't get a Herschel Walker return, but you did get 2 first-round picks.
It doesn't matter. Okay. I'm Jerry Jones. Did you see how they reacted when I traded Herschel Walker? Did you see how they reacted when I fired Tom Landry's ass?
For the next 30 years, Brian Schottenheimer is going to say it was his idea. It was his idea to trade Micah Parsons.
I did it once, and dadgummit, I'll do it again.
Jerry Jones is going to cut Kenny Clark and be confused why he doesn't get a first-round pick.
I really want to know, did you guys call around the league? Did you look? If I'm a Cowboys
good question.
Fan.
Yeah.
If I'm
good
Donnie.
Question. Yep.
It had to be the Packers?
Did you DeMarcus Cousins this joint and Kenny Clark was your buddy healed?
I don't know how much more you get from Mike.
I don't know.
I think you get equal to that.
Kenny Clark's made a couple of Pro Bowls last season. He kind of.
Equal to what?
Equal to what the Packers gave you. You could get equal to that from the Ravens, the Steelers, the Dolphins. Like, you could have got equal somewhere outside of Green Bay.
Did the 49ers at least call an offer from Nick Bosa?
I hope so.
Like, look, because I'd start, look, straight up, Bosa for Micah. Mm. No? Fine, first round pick. Then I'll start with third. Like, say something.
You're just gonna
like,
keep
just
going.
Get this five. I'll give you the Desmond Bain deal, the Kevin Durant Brooklyn deal. What would it take?
Yeah, at the very least, I like to know: did you take calls, or did you just talk to the Packers? Because that is, I think when you go down the list, I'm not a Cowboy fan. Donnie, anybody, Drew, down, you could tell me when you go down the list. It's the NFC East, it's the Niners, and then it's the Packers when you talk about rivals. So it's not like your 1A rival. But you guys got history. You don't like each other. They're in your conference. You may have given them an opportunity to be a Super Bowl team. Did you take calls from anybody else? Please tell me you took calls from other people and they were only giving you one third rounder. Mm-hmm. Please tell me that's what happened.
Well, you'd probably have to look at like the contenders too, because I'd assume a team with a high first round pick probably wouldn't give that up for Michael Parsons, given you're not in the right just state organizationally to win now. So it's like for the teams that are good and I guess could trade for him.
Let me see. Let me find a team. Did the Jets call you?
Jets gonna need that pick.
Did the Texans call you?
I admire the fact that Schefter, and I assume it's Todd Archer. Let me. No, oh, I'm sorry. It's not Schefter at all. It's Todd Archer's article. I admire the fact that they threw in this line. Jones could hope the trade of Parsons has a similar effect as the 1989 trade of running back Herschel Walker.
Well, they talked to Jerry. I told Jerry, watch that documentary. Said, yeah, I'll do it again.
Casey's right. He watched the doc, bro. He watched the doc and got pumped up. He hyped himself up. He's like, I'm going to trade Michael Parsons.
He said, I'll do it again.
Do you think Jerry, in a fit of anger, just said, F it, trade him?
That, yeah.
Because remember, yes, a week ago, he was like, I've got 3 years to figure this out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a Packers rumor starts last night that Jesse doesn't bring to the show.
My fault.
from Ricky Scoops.
My fault. I didn't bring the dog's tweet to the show.
Ricky Scoops.
Is that his? I keep saying that. It's Ricky.
Yeah, it's Ricky Scoops.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's an actual dog.
And again, Florio was like, no, this dude's real. Like, he's tapped in.
Got like 50,000 followers.
Yeah, no, he's real.
Ricky Scoops.
It's crazy. But it goes from, we have a 3 years to figure this out, to a Packer rumor coming out, to Schefter tweeting, the Cowboys are at least listening. He didn't say, again, if you go back and you read Schefter's tweets this morning, he's not saying, hey, we're open for business. Mm-hmm. He said they're at least listening.
Right.
And that they want to get this situation resolved, to where hours later, Michael Parsons is a Green Bay Packer. It feels like Jerry turned the table over and said, get his ass out of here.
Like this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in an hour, he's going to regret it. We'll come back. You posed a great question before we talked to Go-Go Sacramento with Coach Brendan Marion. And that was the scenario we put together earlier. Mm. Did Jerry and Stephen Jones have a conversation about the reality of the Dallas Cowboys? Mm. We'll talk about that. We'll shift gears in about 30 minutes. Matt George will be with us. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. This Micah Parsons conversation on ESPN 1320 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 916-909-1320, the Elk Grove Kia Talk Liner. Man, Andrew here. Andrew, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, so what you guys are saying about, you know, the Cowboys fielding calls from other teams regarding the trade, do you think that teams were reluctant because Micah deserves a contract and obviously is going to get a lot of money regarding that? Do you think that's why teams were a little hesitant?
Well, it's a good question, Andrew. We don't know if teams were hesitant. The question was posed. We genuinely don't know the answer. If there was a, it doesn't feel like this was a busy morning for the Dallas Cowboys. When Schefter tweeted this morning, I get the feeling he knew that Micah Parsons was being traded and that he was being traded to the Green Bay Packers. The contract is negotiated. The contract is done. So this didn't start this morning, and it probably didn't start last night. The question Kenny posed was, how many teams did they talk to? And Andrew brings up like a hesitancy or a reluctance. I wonder how many people were hesitant or reluctant to get involved in these conversations or a conversation with Jerry, because one, history says it'll inevitably be leaked. Mm-hmm. And two, they probably didn't take him seriously. Mm. They didn't take the idea. You've come this far with Dak and CD to trade him? Mm. There might have been teams who were like, we'll talk to him for a second. He's not serious about this. Or don't even bother. He's not serious about this. Or what could be the likeliest of scenario, no, don't bother. We've already heard it's Green Bay. Because they talk to athletes first, or they talk to or someone involved with the Cowboys, like, yeah, we're trading Micah, but they've already negotiated the contract. He's going to
Green Bay might have just been the team that was just willing to overpay over everyone else, because I'm looking at like spot tracking everyone's deals. The next highest annual average for non-quarterback is TJ Watt at $41 million. Yes. Micah's at 47. So yeah, $6 million is a big
gap. That's a Dak Prescott bump.
Yeah, that's like the Packers were like, no one's going to outbid us type of deal right there, I feel.
Yeah. And look, I don't have a problem with that. If it's a put forth your best offer thing and you want Micah Parsons there, put forth your best offer and go get the player you want. Mm-hmm. This is a Super Bowl contending team now. We've asked and asked and asked who can compete with the Philadelphia Eagles. Micah Parsons is the type of player, the Green Bay Packers are the type of team where you put those two entities together, yep, that's a team that can compete with Philadelphia.
We're back to Andrew's call real quick, too. Like, I do wonder if teams were like, yeah, we'll offer 43, 42, 44, or whatever, but like 47, that's a bit much.
That's a jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a jump.
But in that respect, though, that ain't got nothing to do with the Cowboys. Because the other teams could have been, we're offering this and that. The Cowboys are deciding to trade. It ain't Micah saying, he ain't got no trade.
He could choose not to take the deal, though.
True.
In which the team wouldn't do the trade then.
True. Yeah. Right.
True. Yeah. Very true.
If the Packers are offering you two first-rounders, Kenny Clark, who has been like a decent NFL player, I mean, he's made three Pro Bowls and all that. Like, that's a pretty good deal for Dallas. Like, if teams are only willing to offer 44 or 45, then you got to go with the Packers.
Yeah. Yeah, that number is way, way different.
If teams are, I'd like to, Micah got to tell me no.
Oh, Mike, sure.
Micah got to tell me no.
I'm sure he did.
I got to be like, hey, man, I got this deal with the Raiders.
Yep.
Is it more than 47
No, but do you want to go to the Raiders or not? And if he says no, then he, like I said, he's got to tell me no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he made it clear, though. 47 mil per, like that's insane.
And you're going to the Packers. You got a chance to win there.
Yeah, you have it. That's the other thing. You have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Because if they were reversed, right? Like if the Raiders were offering, no, I'm just using the Raiders as an example. But if the Raiders were offering 47, but the Packers were offering 44, Micah might say, "I'll go to the Packers for 44."
Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because
I'm in a better situation.
Yeah.
So, but if the team with the best situation is also offering the best, making the best offer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what it felt like happened.
Mm. Now, like we talked about before, though.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse brought up, this is a really good move for the Packers. And this elevates them. Sorry, Donnie. Sorry, Drew Down. I don't think this is the worst move for the Cowboys. I don't think, like Micah, the actual player, not to sound like Bill Parcells, but the player is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But in its total context, when you talk about where you are as a franchise, the money that you already have tied up in other players, and how close you actually are to being a championship team, I'm not sure. It's unfortunate for Micah. It's unfortunate that his contract came up last, but I'm not sure I would have paid him that money.
Is this a rebuild?
You're starting to flirt with that. Like, but
can you rebuild?
I think the idea is to make the rebuild short.
Yeah, I think it might be more of a reload.
Yeah, because you have those two first round picks, you have a starter coming in, but you still have CD and Dak. And like I understand we might not think that Dak is a winner, we might not think super. Dak's not a bad quarterback. And you still have probably a top 10 at worst, at the absolute worst, you have a top 10 quarterback on your roster. You have a top 5.
Yeah, you got one of
receiver.
You got one of the true number ones in the league.
In a receiver, yeah. So you don't have to like tear the whole thing down. You have to properly utilize those first round picks. You have to make the most of every draft, and you have to get better pretty quickly because Dak is getting older, and it all everything as we've outlined on numerous occasions goes back to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And when you factor in. And I'm not saying it's his fault, but when you factor in, we weren't going anywhere with Micah. Like, what when you talk about a rebuild and how many games he's worth, me, Jesse, and Kyle, I think only had him at like 8 wins.
Yeah.
Like, how many wins am I really losing by not having Micah Parsons there?
Well, here, Can you imagine the hysteria? Don't want this at all. Play along with me.
Okay.
Imagine the hysteria if Dak gets hurt week one. If Dak gets hurt week one, and I'm Jerry Jones, something happened to CeeDee Lamb. He slipped. He's in the weirdest concussion protocol of all time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to sleep, and I'm waking up when Arch Manning is my quarterback. Because mm-hmm. the truth is, we talk about this with the Kings all the time. You need so many things to happen for the Sacramento Kings to be as bad as some of you want. Mm-hmm. Like, at least four or five things have to happen. For the Cowboys, only one has to happen.
Yeah.
One. And then you can start, okay, how's this season going without Dak? Oh, it's bad. Great. Because this is going to be a Victor Wembanyama level of losing games the second half of the season.
Right.
Because, I mean, you've got New Orleans and Spencer Rattler. You've got all of these teams who you're like, I don't know. I don't know what their quarterback is.
Or I know.
Right. Or I know who my quarterback is, and I want that one. I want the one who's playing at 9 a.m. West Coast time in Ohio State. That's who I want.
Or your boy from – I mean, Arch is that dude, but your boy from Clemson. I always forget his last
Different name. Draft.
But he's
– Yeah.
It could be a 1-2 thing. Real quick, sidebar, Giants sweep the Cubs, walk-off win, Jung-Hoo Lee.
Well, would have been fun to watch, wouldn't it have? Sure would have loved to have that on the big
now,
TV.
Now you can watch the highlights. Go ahead.
No, I don't care. Done. Now it's
you
over.
You watch the highlights. Yeah, Giants – sweep the Cubs.
Sure would have not. Really would have liked to watch that game here in the studio. But I'm banned from watching Giants games. You lead to a month-long losing streak, and all of a sudden you can't watch anymore.
So I think the Diamondbacks won today. So I think the Giants are like.
But we're watching Cincinnati.
We're watching Cincinnati and St. Louis.
St. Louis, who both lost yesterday.
Yeah. And you still got to leapfrog. No, I think they might have already leapfrogged the Diamondbacks. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't matter. That'll like take care of itself in time, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and actually, they leapfrogged the Cardinals too. So it's really getting to the Cincinnati.
So are we
Reds. They're
four?
6.5 back. They are 2 back from the Reds.
Wait, they're 6.5 back from
six
what?
6 back from the Mets, who lead the final wild card spot. But the Reds are in between the Mets and the Giants.
Oh.
So you need to catch the Reds. Like the way I look at it, catch the Reds before you even talk about getting to that final wild card.
I got
spot.
You. Okay.
And they're
okay.
2 back of the Reds right now.
Okay. Okay.
You see the A's moved out of last place after their sweep of the,
yeah, they won.
The Tigers?
Yeah.
They're in third place.
I didn't see they moved out of last place.
They didn't pass up the Angels. That's Chris's team.
Sorry about that, Chris.
But yeah, that happened. We can go back to Micah Parsons, but
shout out to everybody who got to watch it.
It was great. You should have saw it.
No, it would have been nice. Would have been nice.
Yeah, that's the move though. Arch, got your eye on Arch, man. Because,
and I don't think that's crazy to think that's you're talking about one catastrophic thing happening to the Cowboys. Don't want it to happen. Don't want that to happen to Dak. Like, he can't recover from that. In my opinion, I don't think he can recover from another season-long injury. But, like, that's what you – there's no conversation. Well, the defense might be able to win you a couple of games. That's probably not a thing.
Let me ask you a question. Let's just say we are showing respect to Micah Parsons and a team that we thought was going to win 8 games. I think they actually won, like, 5 or 6 last year, but they had some injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But a team that you thought was going to win 8 games, you trade Micah – man, he takes 3 games off of what you're trying to do. Now you're a 5-win team.
Mm.
Dak stays healthy. Do you still find a way to go get Arch?
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can.
You're talking about 5 wins at the end of the season?
Because if you're a 5-win team, that means you're not far from number one.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think there's a team in the league. Because you're talking about New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're talking
true. It depends on New Orleans.
You
New Orleans
could
be crazy because they got the bloodline there.
You could be. Oh, like, that would be insane.
New Orleans got the bloodline there.
You could be talking about Carolina. Like, you're talking about teams that desperately need that franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I can't envision a scenario where they're
give them Dak.
I can't envision a scenario. One, again, stick with New Orleans because that feels very easy.
Yeah.
There's no way.
There's
no way. Yeah. You pay it. You play. You could hear it on NFL films right now. And the stadium his grandfather played in. He stunk, but still. In the stadium is great. Well, the team did.
That's a trip to hear, too, because I hear they talk about that all the time when they talk about his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
I've always known him to be the dad of the Mannings.
Now he's grandpa. Yeah.
That's crazy. But yeah, that's Saints. I agree with you. Saints couldn't do it. The Saints have already been playing this game, it seems like.
They might have been.
Saints.
No, they might have been
thinking about this for a while.
Yeah, Spencer Rattler is our quarterback.
Better Tyler Slow, right?
they walked into camp. All right, boys, don't even bother.
And truthfully, this game.
I don't blame them.
I don't either.
I don't blame them. Like, you can run through this time and time again. If you don't have a quarterback, you have nowhere to start.
Arch plan for his grandpa's old team.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So, yeah, Cowboys. What a day! What a day! Trade Micah Parsons. But I want to reiterate, in when you really get into the minutia of this whole thing, I think that might have been the right move.
Do you think Jerry had that conversation we talked about with himself or Steven or the people that he trusts the most, and they settled on we're not good enough with him, and even if we kept him, we can't compete with the Packers. Let's just do the deal.
I actually think that might have happened.
I want to believe it did,
because things changed so quickly.
I just can't imagine Jerry saying we're not good enough. I can't. I just can't envision. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying I can't envision Jerry, even in his most honest moment, going, we're not good enough.